Well, praise the Lord. Good morning. Sunday morning, February 23rd, 2020. As we praise God, as we continue to move forward in this year, continue praying that the year has been good to you so far, because I think this is a year for things to change in your life. Amen. And I think that you have to believe that. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And so we have to release our faith to believe for the better. There's too many times we believe for the worst. But it takes faith to believe for the better, to believe that things are going to turn around. And I'm releasing my faith for myself, for my family, and for you, whoever you may be, that that this year is going to be the best year you've had. If not in your life, then in a very long time. And so we're going to believe God for that. And so we're here at the last Sunday of February 2020. And, you know, we're just excited as we continue to move forward with God. I'm excited to be back home on this Sunday. Last two Sundays I've been away. But God's been good and God's been faithful. And he's blessed us to and given us good success in our journeys, and so we're grateful for that. All praise be unto God. And so thank God for this morning. Thank God for you, and thank God for the word. Praise God. Amen. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we're going to get into the word of God on this morning, and God has something for us on today. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Praise God. We're going to read from verse number 1 down to verse number 13 in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And after we read the scriptures, we'll pray and get into the word that God has for us this morning. Praise God that he is a speaking God. Amen. Not like those ancient gods made with stone and with wood, made with man's hands.
Amen.
Who would want to serve a God that is made with man's hands? That's one of the most ridiculous things in the world. Amen. Mm-hmm. We serve a God who is spirit. Amen. God is a spirit. And God seeketh those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So let's look at Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse number 1. And the word of God reads as follows. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Let's pray today. Father, we bless your holy name.
Yes,
and we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to one more time hear your voice speaking through your word. Yes. Father, we pray that we will have a receptive heart today, that we will have an attentive ear today to hear and to receive all that you have for us. Father, we believe that what you're going to speak unto us will transform our lives, yes, for the Father, better.
Thank you.
And so, Father, in advance, we give you thanks and we give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you will bless everyone under the sound of my voice to receive exactly what you have for each one of them on today. And Father God, I just pray that as I humble myself before you, you use me for your glory, that all the praise will be given unto you, for that, yes, is God, where it belongs. And Father, I just thank you, bless you, and praise you for answering this prayer and even doing exceedingly abundantly above all I have asked or thought. And we give you honor now for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we read Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Our title today is Be Ready. Praise the Lord. Be ready. Amen. Be ready. We're not even saying get ready. Amen. We're saying be ready. Because, see, get ready implies that it's something that you still have yet to do. In other words, it's talking in the future. When someone says, I'm going to get ready, that means they're not ready now.
Right.
They're going to get ready. You know, maybe after their show goes off, they're going to get ready. Maybe, you know, after, you know, they finish posting on social media, they're going to get ready. Maybe after, you know, they get to the next level of whatever video game they're playing, they're going to get ready. When you say, I'm going to get ready, that's talking about something you're going to do in the future. Mm-hmm. That's not what God is saying unto us today. He's saying, be ready. See, if a person, when we talk about be ready, that's present tense. That's another word saying, I am ready. You know what I mean? I'm ready right now. You know, because I already got ready. And now I am ready to go forward. And so God is telling us to be ready. And be ready for what? Well, you know, as we read this passage of Scripture, This actually comes, you know, in chapter 24 of Matthew's gospel. Jesus begins talking to his disciples about the signs of the end of the age. He started talking about the tribulation. He started talking about, you know, how the sun would grow dark and the moon would grow dark. He started talking about wars and rumors of wars. And he started to talk about how one would be taken and another left and all those things. He was talking about the end of the age. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to chapter 25 and he gives this parable. And this parable is all about being ready for that time. That's one of the things that's going on here. In other words, being ready when Jesus returns, mm-hmm, right? So be ready. But also, what God wants to talk to us about is certainly that's important. How many of you know you need to be ready? Because look, Jesus can come at any time, right? As he said, you know, no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. Amen. So we have to be ready for Jesus' return. Jesus can come back this afternoon. Mm-hmm. I know you have plans. And I know you have plans for tomorrow and for this week coming up, but, you know, Jesus can put those plans on permanent hold, amen, yeah, if he decides to come back before then, amen. So whenever he comes, be ready. But here's the other thing, and I love because God speaks in layers. He always speaks in layers, and I believe today, not only be ready for when Jesus comes back, but be ready when God moves in your situation. In other words, many times we're asking God for things, we're praying to God for things, we're believing on God for things, and then God moves. Well, God gives a word that will allow us to get the thing that we've been praying for, hoping for, believing for. And when he speaks the word, you'd be surprised how many people aren't ready. Hmm. Right? And so, you know, God is talking to us on two fronts of being ready today. One is the overarching one, of be ready for Christ's return. In other words, if you haven't gotten right with the Lord yet, you better get it right now, amen, because you don't know when he's coming. Matthew 24:36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Mm-hmm. In verse 42 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, he says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And please know that if you're not ready, you will suffer. Amen. And you don't want that. So no. Make the choice now while you have a chance. None of this, I'm going to, you know, I got to do certain things first before I can follow the Lord. Be ready. Make the choice now so that if, when the Lord Jesus comes, you don't have to try to get yourself together, because by then it will be too late.
Yep.
But let's talk about this second layer, though, of being ready when God moves in your life. Because I believe that this parable of the 10 virgins can, you know, God is speaking to us along that line in particular today, because I do believe that this is a time when God is going to do some great things. As I was saying earlier, I believe this is going to be the best year in your life, or in your life in a very long time. But when God starts to move, and he starts to move things around, he starts to answer prayers, and he starts to open doors, are you going to be ready? And I think that's an important question for you to answer, because the last thing you want is to be believing on God, praying to God, hoping on God, trusting in God to do something, and then he does it. And when he does it, you're not ready. Because I want you to know, there's a timing in God. And you can't simply, you know, not be ready when God is now moving in your life, and then have confidence that it will come around again. You need to be ready when God opens that door. You need to be ready when God answers that prayer. You need to be ready when God creates that opportunity for you. You've been praying for it. You've been believing on it. You've been crying about it. You've been waiting for it. But are you ready for it? God is saying, be ready. Now, this parable is interesting, because one of the things that this parable teaches is that every one of us is personally responsible for ourselves. We're going to see this in a moment, that every one of us is personally responsible for our spiritual condition. And let's take it even further, our emotional condition, our physical condition. We're responsible. Each one of us has to stand before the judgment of Christ and give an account of what we've done in these bodies. Amen. You can't point to someone else, because you and I are going to be standing on our own. You can't blame your mama. You can't blame your dad. You can't blame your sisters and brothers. You can't blame other people in this world when Jesus asks you what you did in this body. You're going to have to answer what? For yourself. And let's look at what happened here. Jesus says, you know, he gives us this parable. He talks about 10 virgins. And he said they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And the bridegroom was going to come, and there was going to be a great marriage feast. Amen. And Jesus says that 5 of the 10 virgins, or the bridesmaids, were wise, and 5 were foolish. He says that they that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. In other words, they took no extra oil. They had some oil in their lamp. They had some, but they didn't take any extra oil. The wise virgins took oil in their vessels with their lamps. In other words, they took flasks that had some oil, and they also took their lamps. So they had oil in their lamps, and they had some oil in their flask. They had a supply of oil that would suit them for whatever was going to come forward. The foolish virgins, though, didn't have any extra. They just had the oil that was in their lamps. Mm-hmm. So all 10 go out. And as they go out, verse 5 says that the bridegroom tarried. How many of you know the bridegroom is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Mm-hmm. And how many of you know that sometimes we're waiting on God and it seems that God tarries? Mm-hmm. You ever been in a situation where God tarries? Mm-hmm. You're waiting on God. You're believing on God. You need God to move now. But it's like he's taking his sweet old time. He tarries. Amen. God, how many of you know God's going to do things in his timing? Amen.
All right.
And so, you know, the bridegroom tarried. And so, like many of us, the bridesmaids here, they got tired of waiting and they fell asleep. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so they fell asleep, but it says at midnight. Why at midnight? Because it's not at a convenient time. It didn't happen 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Huh? It didn't happen 10 o'clock in the morning. It didn't happen 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It came at midnight. What's that letting you know? You better be ready when God moves in your life. It's not going to happen when everything's convenient for you. It's going to happen when you got a whole bunch of other things going on. It's going to happen, you know, on a day that you have something else planned. It may happen when you're on vacation. It may happen when you're about to go on vacation. The bottom line is it's not going to come nicely wrapped in a bow and in a package. It's not going to be Amazon, where Amazon Prime, you order it today, you get it tomorrow, so you know and you can plan on getting your delivery. When God comes in your life, he just comes.
Yeah.
And so the bridegroom came at midnight. Not very convenient. Amen. Midnight is the time I like to be sleeping. I don't know about you. Midnight, shoot, I like to be sleeping. Mm-hmm. Covered all up to my neck. Glory to God. Midnight. Don't come calling me at midnight, right? That's how a lot of us feel. But the bridegroom came when? He came at midnight. And there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then it says, then all those virgins, so all 10, the 5 wise ones and the 5 foolish ones, they got up and they trimmed their lamps. In other words, they turned them on. And let's stop here for a second, because let's understand something about the lamps and the oil. The lamps here, especially when we talk about being ready for the return of Christ, the lamps really represent our lives, mm-hmm. right? And lamps do what? They give off light. And how many of you know our lives are supposed to give off light? Mm-hmm. If you're saved, your lamp, your life is supposed to give off light into this darkened, sin-sick world, mm-hmm. right? And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, let your light, what? So shine that others may see your good works mm-hmm. and glorify your Father in heaven. So the lamps are our lives, and our lives are supposed to be a light to the world. But you and I can't give light to the world on our own. We need help. And that's where the oil comes in. And the oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost mm-hmm. or of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us power to live lives that can generate and give light to the world. You need a power source in order to generate light. And our power source is the oil of the Holy Ghost, right? You shall have power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, Acts 1 and 8. So we need the oil of the Holy Ghost in order for our lamps to give off light in this dark world. That and that light that's given off is evidenced by our good works. And our good works will then bring glory to God. But if you don't have any oil, you can't give off any light. Mm. You follow, right? If you don't have oil, you can't give off any light. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't give off any light. Now, You're a born-again believer. I'm a born-again believer. We're born-again believers. We all have the Holy Ghost. But how many of you know, the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
See, you can have the Holy Ghost and be quenching His Spirit. How do you quench Him? By being disobedient. How do you quench Him? By not doing what God tells you to do. How do you quench it? By God telling you to go to Nineveh and you go to Tarshish. That's how you can do huh? That's how. Right, He tells you to forgive and you hold grudges.
Mm-hmm.
He tells you to be kind and you're mean. He tells you to give and you hoard. You can quench the Spirit, right? He says spend time with me and you don't. So these lamps in this parable are vessels of light, and that's what we are. Those lamps are our lives. The oil is the Holy Spirit. All right, so now watch this. So at midnight, a cry is made and the bridegroom comes, and then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, or they are going out. See, they weren't able to give off much light out of their lamps, the foolish virgins,
right,
because they were running out of oil. They were low on oil. And what did they say? Those who were, these five virgins who were low on oil, looked to the five wise virgins and said, who not only had oil in their lamps, but had a supply of oil to keep their lamps burning bright. They looked to them and said, give us some of your oil. Now, I want you to know something. See, you spend time with God. You read God's word, you pray, you meditate, you get quiet before God, you obey God, you trust God, you believe God, you put your hope in God, and God is building you up in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
He's filling you with oil, mm-hmm. and you walk around with power, and you walk around giving off light. And then you got somebody else who's been with you, like these five virgins were with the five wise ones, and they're with you, but they're not. I ain't getting up in the morning to pray that early. I'm not reading the word. I'm not, you know, they kind of, but they don't really. You know what I mean? They're not really dedicated and committed and making the sacrifice. And so what happens? They have a low oil supply.
Mm.
And what happens now when things get tight for them, or now when they realize that their power is diminished to the point where they can't even do anything in their life? They can't even forget, you know, someone who has a major sickness. They can't even lay hands on someone who just sneezed and see them recover. And so now they're looking to you, and you're walking around with your lamp burning bright because you full of oil and you got all this supply of oil. And then when they come, they want some of your oil.
Wow.
Isn't that what happened? They want some of your oil.
Wow.
And here's the thing. There's been many times where you've given them some of your oil. And that's fine sometime where you share some of your power and your insight and everything else. But I want to let you know something. You can't just be giving away your oil to people who have the same opportunity to get their own oil, but they don't want to do it. You can't keep doing it. And I want to tell you one other thing. You ain't obligated to do it either. Who's telling this parable? Jesus. How do you know? Because the words are in red. That's why we know, right? So Jesus is telling this parable. And look what happens. The foolish virgins say to the wise ones, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. And the wise answers, saying, not so. I'm telling you right now, there are people who want to just siphon off your oil.
Wow.
And you need to be able to tell them, not so. I spent time before God to walk in this power. I spent time before God to walk in this level of anointing. I spent time with God to obtain this wisdom. I've spent time with God, and I've committed, and I've sacrificed, and I've applied myself, and I've denied myself in order to get to this level. And you've done what you've done, and I'm not standing in judgment, but you now want to siphon off my oil, and I'm telling you, not so.
Mm.
And I want you to know, there are some people who are close to you who believe they have a God-given right to your oil. So much so that if you say to them, not so, they think they can get mad at you. But someone needs to understand something. There's no one on God's green earth who has been put on this earth simply to cater to the whims of somebody else. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you don't help them. God wants us to help, right? He wants us to help, right? The least of these, my brethren. He wants us to help the needy, the orphan, the widow, right? The poor. No question. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who deliberately don't take responsibility. Mm-hmm. Listen, if we go back, these five virgins are described as foolish. The Amplified says they were thoughtless and without forethought. They didn't plan. They didn't prepare, right? They didn't take care of what they could have taken care of. Not that they weren't able. They just didn't do it.
Right.
See, there's people who just don't do things that they could do and should do. That's who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about those who find themselves in a hard way, right? But those who time after time after time aren't taking care of things. And then want to siphon off your oil, you need to know something. You can tell them not so.
Mm.
You can tell them not so. And if they want to act as if you are there or you are here on this earth to cater to their whims, to cater to their needs, to fill in their blanks,
mm-hmm.
you can tell them not so.
Wow.
God put me here for a purpose, and it is his purpose. You know who I serve like that, with that kind of unconditional, I'll do anything for you whenever you ask? You know who? It's one person and one person alone who gets that kind of treatment, and it's God. There is nobody else. Listen, there are some parents who cater to their children.
Mm-hmm.
Give them everything they want. You need to learn to say, not so. Glory to God. You cater. You need to learn, not so. People can drain you, man, if you allow them. You can't allow them to just siphon off your power. You can't allow them to siphon off your anointing. You can't allow that. Why? Remember what we said at the outset? Part of what's going on in this parable is one of personal responsibility. Everyone is responsible at the end of the proverbial day for their spiritual condition. Everyone has a personal responsibility. You're going to have to stand before God and answer. So these foolish virgins said, give us some of your oil. And the wise ones said, not so.
Mm-hmm.
But understand, this wasn't a not so that was born of selfishness or meanness or judgment. They weren't saying, they weren't holding them in judgment. They weren't doing anything. Look what they said. They said, not so, lest, right? Or mm-hmm. lest what? There be not enough for us and you.
Mm.
See, you need to understand something. Everyone, you have your own challenges in this life. Life comes to everybody, right? Tribulation, challenges, problems, headaches, annoyances, frustrations, disappointments, delays, heartache, pain come to everybody. And so, if you are going to continue to shine as a bright vessel in this world, you need the power of the Holy Ghost to do it if you're facing all of those challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to have a lazy, thoughtless person who doesn't want to take care of their own spiritual condition come siphon off your oil.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they do that enough times, you ain't going to have enough for them and you. So know what's going to happen? You're both are going to end up in a dark place.
Mm-hmm.
Not only will their lamp go out, but your lamp is going to go out too. And I'm telling you this, amen, my lamp going to shine. And if someone who's not taking care of their spiritual condition and their lamp is starting to go out, think that they just going to come and siphon off my oil when I got as many challenges and problems as the next person, not so. I ain't got enough oil for me and you. Amen? Amen? How do I get my oil? I got my oil the same way you can get your oil. Spend time with God. Amen? Obey God. Trust God. Believe God. Walk with God. And you will be filled with oil too. I don't have enough oil for me and you. And if you think you're going to guilt me or get mad at me or talk about me or put me on Facebook blast and all the rest of that, and you think that's going to make me give you oil, not so. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Not so. Why? And it's not because I'm selfish. It's because I need light. And I can't give you my oil, right? When you just didn't prepare to get your own oil, because now we're not going to have enough for both of us. So the wise virgin said, nah, sorry. Not so. If I do that, we won't have enough for us and for you. And then look what the wise virgin said. Go get your own oil. Yeah. Is that what they said? They said, go get your own oil. Why? Because you're personally responsible for your oil supply. You have the same Holy Ghost I have. The same Holy Ghost I have and the same Holy Ghost you have will give the same power. Right? God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. He is a respecter of obedience. And if you're going to not obey God, you're not going to walk in faith and all the rest of that, then don't expect to have as much oil as someone who's walking at a greater level of faith. Right. Just don't expect it. And then don't do this. Don't go over to them and believe that they have an obligation to give you some of their oil. They don't. What the virgin say? Not so.
Not so.
Because I won't have enough for me and for you. And then what they said, go get your own oil. Mm-hmm. Is that what they said?
Yep.
It said, go ye rather to them that sell, and watch this, and buy for yourselves. I mean, it can't get any plainer than that. Go get your own oil. Why? Because it's available. It's available to you. Amen. Listen, it's available to you. Stop trying to siphon off T.D. Jakes' oil and get your own oil.
Oh, Jesus.
Huh? You can't just go and steal his sermons and preach it for yourself and think that you're going to walk in the same and give off the same light that he gives off. That's not your oil. Mm. That's his oil. Go get your own oil.
Wow.
Hmm? Get your own oil. And here's the thing, the God who supplies the oil will give it to you. He's no respecter of persons. But you're going to have to spend time with him. You're going to have to spend time in his word. You're going to have to say, not my will, but your will be done. You're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. You're going to have to make a commitment to him. Amen. You're going to have to make sacrifices. You're going to have to pray and stand and watch and pray and fast and do all the things that the Bible calls us to do. Amen. This oil is valuable. You're going to have to put some time in. And if you do, God will freely give you the oil. Freely. But if you just want to live a life of convenience, live a life of partial obedience to God. You know, like go to church, carry a Bible around every once in a while, post some verses of scripture on your Facebook page, act like you're spiritual. Fine. Your oil going, your lamp going to go out.
Yep.
Amen. True. You got the Holy Ghost, but man, right?
Yep.
Paul told the church in Galatians, he said, be filled with the Spirit. Not just have some. How many of you know you can have gas in your car? There's a difference between having gas in your car and having a full tank.
Yep.
Huh? Because see, when your light comes on, My light comes on all the time in my car to show me that I don't have any gas. And see, my wife, she don't like her light to come on in her car. I remember I was driving her car, a light came on. She said, I think that's the first time the light ever came on. Because I wouldn't stop at the gas station. I was like, oh man, I felt like I was guilty of car abuse. But my light always comes on. But when that light comes on, I'm not out of gas. I'm just low on gas.
Yes.
Right? I still got some gas in my car, but I don't have a full tank. So if I'm driving next to somebody that got a full tank in their car, and I got my light on that says, lets me know my gas tank is low, don't you know I can't drive as far as the car that has the full tank of gas?
Right.
That's just common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the Holy Ghost, I have the Holy Ghost, because he's given unto us when we accepted Christ as Savior. But if you're quenching him by not obeying and doing the things that God wants you to do, you got some oil, but you can't go as far with God as the one who has a full tank, who has a full lamp, a lamp that's full of oil. And if you want to go where God has destined for you to go, right? Because God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, God may not have ordained you a prophet to the nations, but he, just like with Jeremiah, he knew you before you were formed in the belly. And before you came out, he sanctified you and he ordained you to do certain things in this earth. And if you're going to do the things that God has ordained you to do in this earth, you need to have a lamp that's full of the oil of the Holy Ghost, who's going to allow you to do what God has called you to do. Mm. And that's why you can't be giving your oil to someone who doesn't want to spend the time to freely get the oil that's available to them.
Mm.
Not so. Not so. And so they told these other virgins, listen, I can't give it to you. Because if I do, there's not going to be enough for me and you. And I want to see the bridegroom. That's why I came out here. I want to go to the marriage feast. And none of us are going to be able to go if I give you some of my oil. Not so. Go get your own.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to know that the Bible is teaching you right here, and if you're paying attention, it's okay to tell people no sometime. Hmm?
Amen.
Christians aren't some yes people. Everything somebody asks you, you're supposed to say yes because you're a Christian. I thought you were a Christian. I am a Christian. But Christians don't just say yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Christians know how to say what?
No.
Not so. Glory to God. Not so.
Not so.
So, verse 10. So the foolish virgins now go to buy some oil. And look what it says. And as they went, the bridegroom came.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus showed up. That's another way of thinking about it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus showed up. And again, as we're talking, if we're talking about the end time, nobody knows when Jesus is going to show up. But how many of you know you want to be ready when he does?
Yeah.
Right? But here's the other thing we were talking about. When God moves in your life on the thing that you've been believing him for a long time, when God shows up, and that's the day, when God tells you, now's the day to cross the River Jordan and go into the promised land, how many of you know you want to be ready?
Yeah.
Right? You want to be ready. And so, as the foolish virgins went to buy, the bridegroom came. And look what it says. And they that were what?
Ready.
Ready. Mm-hmm. Not the ones who were getting ready.
Nope.
Those that were ready. What did they do? They went in with him to the marriage or to the marriage feast.
Mm-hmm.
See, why were they able to go in? Because they were special? No. Because of their last name? No. Because because somehow, you know, they had special tickets? No. You know why they were able to go in? Because they were ready. So guess what? Anybody who's ready gets treated the same way.
Right.
Anybody who's ready gets treated the same way. That's why God is telling us what? Be ready. So they that were ready went in with the bridegroom. They went in with the Lord to the marriage feast, to the celebration, to the party, to the food, to the good time, to the abundance. Mm-hmm. They went in for all that. And what happened? And the door was shut. And afterwards came also the other virgins, the five foolish ones, mm-hmm. saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Why are they saying open to us? Because the door was shut. And if the door was shut, you know what that means? They were shut out. Right? Because they were on the outside of the door. They were shut out. I'm trying to tell you, listen, when Jesus comes at the end of the age, you can't now say, oh, let me get ready. Let me now make the prayer confession. No. You need to be ready. The door will be shut. You don't want that to happen. Make your confession today. Amen.
Amen.
You don't want that to happen.
Amen.
But when God moves in your life, taking it to that second layer, when God moves in your life, you don't want to be unprepared, because now there's going to be a time that door is going to be open and then it's going to be closed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And once the door is closed, it's closed. And you can't come going, hey, come on, let's go. There's a story in Numbers chapter 14 of the spies. Remember the 12 spies that went mm-hmm. out? And in Numbers 14, they come back, and they come back with this bad report. The 10 spies do, and Joshua and Caleb had a good report. And because, you know, 10 spies said, oh, we're like grasshoppers. And then, you know, the people got all upset, and they were mad, and they wanted to kill Moses. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to do all these things, and why God bring us out here? Mm-hmm. And God, you know, God ended up killing the 10 spies, right? And when he killed the 10 spies, Moses went out and told them what happened, mm-hmm. you know. The ones who brought up the evil report had died of a plague. You see that in Numbers chapter 14, verse 37, that those men that brought up the evil report died by the plague before the Lord. Mm-hmm. In verse 39, it says, Moses told these things to the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And then look what they did. Verse 40, they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up to the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? Mm-hmm. But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. Verse 44, look at this. But they presumed to go up the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp, and the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them. They beat them back,
yeah.
even until Horma. What's it saying? Mm-hmm. See, there was a time for them to go up, but that time passed, mm-hmm. and now they were shut out. And see, that's what happens. When God moves in your life, you need to be ready to move when he says move. Not when you feel like it. I love what the scripture said. They presumed to go up the mountain. In other words, they took it upon themselves to say, we can go up now. No, you go when God says go.
Amen.
And if you don't go when God says go, you may find yourself like these five foolish virgins on the outside looking in.
Wow.
You don't want that to happen. Amen.
Amen.
So, as we deal on this second level, amen, the encouragement is God is going to move in your life the way that you've been asking him to, the way that you've been believing on him to, the way that you have been trusting in him to. You know, nobody knows how much, you know, like the woman with the alabaster box, right? You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. And see, that's the other thing. You don't know the cost of the oil that I got.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? You don't know the cost of the oil that's in my lamp. So how dare you think that I can just freely give you some? Mm-hmm. Not so. Go get your own. Amen. But you've been praying and you've been standing and you've been believing and you've been crying and you've been going through, but you've been believing God. But when he moves in your life, be ready.
Yes.
Don't squander the opportunity by being mad at people. Don't squander the opportunity by walking around in unforgiveness. Don't squander the opportunity by being off your post, not being where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do. Don't squander the opportunity trying to be like your friends and be like the world. Continue to set yourself apart from God because he's going to answer. And when he does, you want to be ready. Because that's when you can go in with him and enjoy the feast. You can go in with him and enjoy the abundance, get the promotion, get the increase, experience the growth, experience the character development, get the answers, get the provision that you need. But you got to be ready. And don't underestimate how easy it is to not be ready. You don't have to be like these knucklehead, sorry, Lordy. Like these disobedient children of Israel in Numbers chapter 14, you could be someone who, glory to God. Do you remember in the book of Acts, I believe it's in chapter 12, Peter was in jail and the angel of the Lord came to the prison, opened the prison gates, took the shackles off his hands, took the shackles off his feet, and led him out of the prison. Peter thought he was in a trance. He thought he was dreaming. Led him out of the city and brought him to Mary, John Mark's mother's house. And in the house, all the believers were praying for Peter to be free. And they're praying. And he gets to the house where they're praying for him to be free. And he knocks on the door. And he's calling. And it says, I believe the girl's name was Rhoda. She heard his voice and she recognized his voice. And she went to the door and she said, "That's Peter." But she didn't open the door because she was too excited. She ran back in the house, or, you know, deep into the house, to where everybody was praying and said, "Peter's at the door." And everybody who's praying said, "You're crazy. That's probably just his spirit or his angel or something, right?" And she goes, "No, that's him." And then he's still knocking. "It's me, open up." They're praying for him to be free. He's at the door. But they weren't ready to receive him. So see, understand how easy it is. You could actually still be praying and not be ready. When God moves, God had moved and opened it and opened and brought Peter. He answered their prayer. And they, "Oh, no, that's not him." Listen, being ready is not as easy as it appears. So understand, don't try to take it on your own to be ready. Whatever we do in this life that's God driven, whatever we do in this life that is God focused, requires the help of God. Don't try to do it by yourself, because you could be someone like these believers who are praying. They're doing the right thing. They're praying. They're coming together, standing in faith, and they still almost missed it. Do you get that? Mm-hmm. They still almost missed it. You don't want that to happen to you. Amen. Be ready, right? Be ready. Please understand something. God is going to move in your life. I'm believing that. Amen. I'm believing that he's going to come. Amen. He may come at midnight like the bridegroom came in our parable today. He may come at a time that's not the most convenient for you. But please understand that he's coming. And what you want to do is be ready. Amen. And for you to be ready, you have to make sure that you have a full supply of oil.
Amen.
Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't quench the Holy Ghost. You know, do the things that you can to make sure that your oil supply is full, right? Keep praying. Keep spending time with God. Keep spending time in his word. Keep fellowshipping with like-minded saints. Amen. Keep, you know, living a life of obedience unto God. Keep giving. Keep tithing. Keep fasting. Keep praying. Amen. Keep meditating on the word. Amen. And somebody said, well, when am I going to live my life? Listen, when you are a spirit-filled believer, this is how you live. This is not like, you know, this doesn't mean you can't go to the movies and go to the mall. Come on, grow up from all that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. No one is trying to say all that. But how many of you know that you can go to the mall, you can go to the park, you can go swimming, you can go bowling, you can go play golf, you can go shopping, you can go on vacation and still be a God-centered, Christ-centered person.
Amen.
They're not mutually exclusive. It's not one or the other. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm just saying, but you know, you are God-focused in all of your living. And now you're going to have that steady supply of oil that even as you're waiting for God, your lamp is going to be shining in this dark world. And you're going to be giving glory to God because others are going to see your good works.
Amen.
Right? So that's one reason your lamp got to continue to shine.
Amen.
You got to continue to shine. And if your lamp don't shine, you are going to be in darkness. How many of you know it? Amen.
Amen.
That's not where you want to be. That's not giving glory to God. It's light that gives glory to God, right? And so let your light shine. And then you just be ready for when God comes and moves in your life. He can just take you right into whatever promise you're believing him for. Amen?
Amen.
These five wise virgins were believing to go into the feast. And when they came, lamps were full. They had enough oil. The bridegroom came and they went right into the feast with them, didn't they?
Amen.
Amen, didn't they? You're going to go right into your promise, right? When you are standing there ready with your oil and your lamp full with oil, you're going to go right into your promise.
Amen.
And somebody's going to say, is it that easy? Yeah, it's easy to them on the outside. But like they don't know the cost of the oil in your lamp. Amen.
That's right.
You spent a lot of time, months, years, believing on God, trusting God, making sure your lamp stayed full with oil.
Amen.
They don't know that price. They just see you walking in and think you're lucky. Let them think whatever they want to think. You know how long it took you to make sure you had a steady supply of oil. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So be ready because God is coming. Amen?
Amen.
He's coming. He's coming to answer your prayer. He's coming to open your door. He's coming to give you the increase. He's coming to give you the healing. He's coming to break the chains. He's coming to shine a light into darkness. He's coming. Amen. Be ready. Amen. Don't let anybody get you off your post.
Amen.
Be ready. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's pray today. Father, we bless your name. Glory to God. And we thank you that, Lord, that you are preparing us and making sure that we are prepared with our lamps filled with oil.
Yes, God.
That we may walk into the promise that you have for us. Father, I'm believing by faith in the Son of God that you are ready to move in the lives of your people, to answer prayers, to destroy yokes, to remove burdens, to pull down strongholds, to set the captives free. And Father God, I thank you, God, that your people shall be ready when you come into their lives. That, Father, they will not be found sleeping. They will not be found slumbering. They will not be found without any oil in their lamps. But, Father, they will be ready with their lamps fully trimmed, ready to go into the promise that you have declared is theirs before the foundation of the world. Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ for all the many blessings and the testimonies that shall come forth from the lives of your people. And to you, God, we give all glory and praise right now. And Father, we're praying for those, oh God, who do not have enough oil in their lamps. Father God, we're praying now in the name of Jesus that they will do what is necessary, oh God, that they may get oil for themselves. Because God, you are no respecter of persons. But Father God, we pray that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit as they set themselves before you, humbling themselves before you and yielding to you and yielding their lives to you. And Father, we give you praise, oh God, for your grace and your mercy. And Father, we're praying for those who don't know you yet.
Yes, God.
That Father God, that they too will be ready on that great day when Jesus returns on the clouds of heaven, oh God. Father, we're praying now that they will accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
As you said in your word, today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Father, we're praying that on this day, that those who do not know you will hear your voice and that they will say, yes, Lord, and take you up on your invitation to come into the kingdom of God and to become a child of the Most High. And Father God, we just bless you for it now in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we just turn everything over into your hands. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you've spoken into our hearts.
Yes, God.
Father God, continue to minister this word unto us and bring even greater increase in our life, increase of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Father, we thank you, God, that by the power of the Holy Ghost, we are ready for when you come in our lives, and we are ready for whenever that day or hour shall be, when the Lord Jesus returns. Father God, thank you for making us ready.
Yes.
We give you the praise for it now. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.